You know, we have taught, I think, very comprehensively through the years on the importance of faith in your walk with God. The just shall what?
Live by faith.
Four times the scripture says that. And we understand that the key ultimately to receiving from God is in the realm of faith. Jesus said these words, according to your faith, be it unto you. Now, the difficulty is, and the challenge is, that if we're not careful, we think that faith then is the only factor that's involved in receiving from God. And it's not the only factor. Amen. It is central. It is key. The just shall live by faith, and it's impossible to please God without faith. But there are factors that affect our receiving from God. And today we're going to talk about one of those factors, and it's a factor called Bible hope. Say Bible hope. We say Bible hope because it's not the same thing as the worldly hope. And I want to remind you what the scripture says in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is being sure of what? Of what we hope for, and it's certain of what we do not see. So I can't even engage my faith until I know what I hope for. I have to have hope before I can engage my faith. The Amplified says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. That's a key illustration of that that principle, that scripture, conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. And that can't happen unless I have this thing called Bible hope. Faith is not going to work, it's not going to operate until I have something to manifest with that faith. An illustration for you, in a powerful story, wouldn't you agree, that the woman with an issue of blood who spent everything she had and got what? Just got worse, and she made this discovery. She heard about this one that had virtue coming out of him, and so she cultivated on the inside of her an image of what it's like to be whole. A hope of being sound after being sick for so long. That's the hope part. The faith part is she left her house, went through the crowd, elbowed all the way, fought her way by faith so that what's on the inside of her could manifest by that faith. That's a simple illustration of how faith and hope work together. So if you're saying, well, I had a faith failure and my faith isn't working, you know, that faith stuff doesn't work. It's not always the faith that's not working. There could be something there, or better said, there's nothing there for your faith to work on because the image has not been cultivated on the inside of you. Now, there's a vast difference between, you know, Bible hope and worldly hope. Worldly hope's kind of hoping and a praying, but that's not what this is. When you have Bible hope, you have such a deep conviction and such a deep inner image of what the Word of God says you can be and can have and can do, just like this confession that you just made. It's so strong that it begins to take on a life of its own, and there's now something tangible for your faith to work on and cause to produce and manifest in your life. So let me define what Bible hope is then, because it's not just simply, well, I'll hope and I pray. No, if that's all you got, you don't have Bible hope. And you can't expect to have many faith breakthroughs when you don't have Bible hope for that faith to actually work on. Hope is an inner image of an eager expectation. Say that with me. Hope is an inner image of an eager expectation. It has nothing to do with the natural realm, has nothing to do even with your body or your mind. It's in the realm of that spirit man where that hope is cultivated, where that image is actually produced. It's when you have white hot expectancy. You don't get out of your house sick as a dog like that woman if you don't have expectation that something's going to happen when you leave that house. And a lot of people live their lives hopeless. This world is what? Hopeless. And even some Christians have gotten off track because they've traded, you know, the hope that God offers for the hope that the world offers. And it's always fleeting. It's always circumstantial. It's always based on experience. And there's never any follow through. You will be hopeless if you hook your saddle to this world. But you'll be filled with hope when you hook yourself to the Lord and stay hooked in these last days. Can I have an amen? That hope is a blueprint for your faith, the structure that you build something by. The first house we bought, I talked to the contractor and I said, where'd you get the plans for the house? He said, I drew them on a napkin. Confidence. Fortunately, he knew what he was doing. But honest, that's what he actually did. Well, you know, we had to do a little bit different with this building than draw it on a napkin. We had an 80-something-year-old, architect, and he'd worked this area for years. The county courthouse, most of the schools, several churches of Christ. He actually had done the architecture work for it, and he had all this knowledge, and I had absolutely none. So by the time we put this red iron up on the balcony, and isn't this stairway looking really nice over here? How many like to see another one over there? We're climbing up a ladder here. He's climbing up at 82 years old up that ladder, and he's just throwing this stuff at me, all this knowledge, all this information, structural stuff and architectural stuff, and that's not my stronghold, of course. And he's up on the ladder. He turns around in the middle of being up on that ladder. He turns around and he says, "Son, you're getting an education, aren't you?" And he wasn't kidding. And that same architect originally said he'd do the job for $30,000. He said, "Pay me $1,000 a month." When he got to $14,000, he said, "I'm giving the rest to the church." Wow. What a good man. Amen. Praise the Lord. But very sophisticated set of plans, every dimension, electrical, mechanical, you know, what's going on with the structure, what's going on with the foundation. That's the way it has to be. And that's what you have to have on the inside of you if you want your faith to actually produce or manifest something. That faith, that hope that God gives you is a horizon for life. It's something for you to focus on, something for you to look to. It is, in fact, you know, something for you to use your faith to cause to come to pass. You can think of your hope as a bearing in life, a heading for you to go towards so you can actually be and do what God has called you to do and to be. Now, the problem is from the time we are born, somebody is trying to co-opt that inner image. In fact, as I began to meditate on this, I will tell you this, that the absolute goal in the devil's mind for abortion is to kill the child before God can write that image on their heart. And if he can't do that, then he will do everything he can to co-opt the inner image of that child as they're growing up. That's why it's so important that we are exposed to the right things as kids. I heard one man say that a child's developmental potential is sealed by the time they're 18 months old. It matters what they're exposed to. That's why we are gingerly and in small steps entering into education, formal education for the children of this community, because it matters what they're exposed to. Now understand this. There's a war right now going on for your inner image. I don't know what was painted on the inside of you growing up, but the good news is, if somehow it was messed up, God's design never got around to being birthed on the inside of us after we were born naturally. There is a thing called the new birth, and it's a time of reset. Can I have it? Amen. And you can still become what God has called you to become, but that image has to be recrafted on the inside of you. The canvas can be reset by the new birth. But the good news is, even if after you've had the new birth, you've lost your way, it can be reset today. Can I have an amen? Matter of fact, pray that right now. Heavenly Father, cause a reset in my inner image in the realm of hope today. Hope is a factor because there's a daily battle and war for the inner image of the believer and of what we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to do. Now, you see this pop out in places in Scripture, like back in Numbers chapter 13, verse 33, Moses sent 12 spies to the land. Two came back with a good report. The other 10 came back with an evil report of unbelief. And here's what they said. "We saw ourselves as grasshoppers compared to the giants." Watch this. "And they saw us the same way." The danger is if you don't have a Bible inner image, you're going to project that and then wonder why people look at you funny and cockeyed and somehow think you're less than them. I want to announce to you today, there's not a person in here that is less than anybody else. You are not inferior. The problem is somebody got a hold of your inner image. Somebody been messing with your inner image. And it's time to push back and let God write on your heart what he wants to write on your heart. So maybe it didn't happen after you were born, or maybe even you're still struggling after you're born again. There is still time. If you're still breathing, there's time to get that inner image right on the inside of you. What a wonderful thing that will be. Amen. Glory to God. Say, I'm willing. They saw themselves. That was the problem. It's not that they couldn't beat the giants. It's that they saw themselves as nothing more than a bug in the presence of that circumstance. Battle was lost before it was even fought. Jeremiah 29:11 is a very famous verse, but I want you to understand what it really means today. He said to the people of Israel, and he says to you and to me today, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not evil, plans to give you a future and a hope." What he means is, I want to put on the inside of you an inner image of an eager expectation that will guide you and direct you into my best. God has a future and a hope for every person in this room. God has a future and a hope for everybody watching online. God has a future and hope for anybody who gets a hold of this message down the road. God wants to plant on the inside of you His image for your life. And how many know His image and His plan for our lives is a million times better than anything we can come up with? But you know, there's this battle for the inner image. And I credit Dr. Savelle with making this so plain that none of us can miss it. This is how the inner image is fabricated. This is how it's cultivated in our lives. He said it like this. He said, "The Word of God is the paint." Say that. The Word of God is the paint. The Holy Spirit is the artist. And the human heart is the canvas. And He desires to take the paint of the Word and paint an image on the inside of you that represents what He has for you, what He wants from you, what He wants to do with your life. That's the goal. That's the dream. That's how this works. The problem is, He's not the only artist in this world. And the Word is not the only set of paints in this world. And a lot of us have been painted on not by the Lord, not by the Spirit of God, and not with the paint of the Word, but with the philosophies of men, with the experiences we've been through, with things that didn't go right. There are tens of thousands of painters out there just wanting to crack at your canvas. And if you're struggling today, that's why. And the Holy Spirit wants to begin to take over that and begin to put on the inside of you an inner image of an eager expectation that lines up with that book. Amen. Here it is. There are thousands of so-called artists, and there are thousands of sets of paint, but there's only one artist for you and for me, the Holy Ghost, and there's only one set of paint for us. It's this Word. Amen. Anything else deviates from His plan, His purpose, His goal, His dream for you, and for me. There's only one true artist who paints with the truth, and that is the Spirit of God using the Word of God. Why is this so important? Because the dominant image on the inside of you controls your reality, your future, and your destiny. Plain and simple. You see, we didn't get to where we are by accident. We're not going to get where we're supposed to go next year by accident. In 20 years, we won't be there by accident. It's because what's being programmed on the inside of us, either by the thousands of voices that are out there and all the false paint that's out there, or it's by the Spirit of God painting on your heart, your canvas, His Word. That's the choice. That's the decision. Good news is you and I have some say over who paints on our heart. And some of y'all need to drive some artists out of your life once and for all. The enemy wants you to walk around with the inner image of being sick, for example, being diseased, for example, being the one that's always on the bottom instead of the top, broken, defeated. He wants you to walk around with the image as a failure. Anybody here ever fail at something? That doesn't make you a failure. But if you're not careful, the devil will paint a picture where you have failed. So therefore, that's who you are. He'll paint a picture of you being a person who's a loser or sick or poor or somehow, you know, less than everybody else. You're broke. You're disgusted. You're depressed. You're defeated. You'll never do anything. A lot of people walk around with this inner image of the victim. And our culture pushes that. When you find out who you are in Christ, you don't need somebody to treat you as a victim and somehow feel sorry for you and pat you on the head and try to do something for you so you'll be dependent upon them and incidentally vote for them. What you need is to find out who you are. And let the Holy Ghost paint that reality on the inside of you, and you'll drive that victim thing right out of your life. Come on, say, I am not a victim. I'm more than a conqueror. But if you're listening to the wrong voices and they're painting the wrong thing, that's how you're going to view yourself. The Spirit of God is saying to this crowd today, you have been defining yourself by the worst mistake you ever made, and that is not God. That's not how He operates. It's time for you to take over your canvas again. There's not a person in here that hasn't made a mistake, sinned against God, blown it, done something stupid. Come on, say, stupid is,
stupid
as stupid does.
As stupid
and we've all does.
Yeah.
You mean to tell me that somehow your failure should trump this paint? That failure, that artist should trump the Holy Ghost? I'm telling you that picture on the inside of you of shame for what you did or didn't do, that is not of God. He who comes to Him will not be ashamed. So how come we still have that shame operating in our lives? Because we've been letting the wrong thing, the wrong people, the wrong voices paint on our canvas. Well, look at somebody and say, that's it. I'm done with that. Yes, amen. Glory to God. Whoever controls the canvas controls your life. It's one of the reasons why it's so important to be in a word church. In this late date in God's clock, you don't need somebody just painting religion on you. Legalism. Painting doubt, fear, and unbelief. Telling you what God won't do or can't do or stop doing. You need the uncompromised word of God. Amen. Painted on your heart by the Holy Ghost. I am just a voice. He is the painter. You walk out of here with anything on your canvas, it's because He visited you today. And I'll tell you, you can tell when the Holy Ghost is painting something because it becomes bright in your estimation. It becomes clear in your estimation. You see it for the first time. It strikes your heart with the reality of redemption. Then nobody can talk you out of it. And that's what you need in these last days for sure. We can't expect our faith to work when the enemy controls our inner image. By painting on our hearts, philosophies, inputs of man, our failures, everything's gone wrong. That's not going to work for you. I'm prophesying today deliverance for people in this room.
Amen.
I said, I'm prophesying deliverance in Jesus' name. You're going free so God can paint on your heart. It's the last day the devil holds the brush in your life. We allow the master painter to paint the canvas of our hearts with the word of God. We set ourselves up for our faith to produce, and there's nothing that can stop that. Now we have something for our faith to work with. Say, faith is being sure of the inner image painted by the Holy Spirit on the inside of us with the paint of the word of God. Faith is being sure of that. The question is, you know, how do you do this? How do you cultivate this? Not just for a day, not just on a Sunday morning when somehow God is ministering to you and speaking to you, but every single day of your life. How do you cultivate and consistently develop an inner image of healing and health? I've known people as a pastor. I'm telling you, 100% their identity, their image was the sick one. The destitute one. Every decision, every frame of their life, everything was around serving this thing. And that's how the enemy works. And you know, you have to begin to blank that thing out, let him talk to you all over again and show you what he wants. And so let me just give you these principles and talk about them for a moment. Number one, you need to reject the breaststrokes of the world. Reject those breaststrokes of the world. You know, like this from Scripture in 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down vain imaginations and everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. That inner image on the inside of you that somebody else painted is delving to somehow exalt itself over the authority of God, and you've got to reject those brushstrokes. Recognize the impurities in your canvas. Recognize the contradiction that exists in your canvas. Does it line up with the Word of God? If not, you've got to reject that. That needs to be the new habit of your life. And don't do it every once in a while. Do it all the time. Here's what the world input says. Here's what God says. Cast that thing down. You know, when you've already got problems on the inside, stop letting somebody else paint on your heart. Can I have an amen? And this is difficult because some of y'all have friends that do it all the time. Some of y'all have family that do it all the time. And if you're married, dear God, don't brush garbage on each other.
Amen.
That was pretty weak. I'll try that again. I said, if you're married, don't brush garbage on each other.
Amen.
Reject those brush strokes of the world. Number two, ask God for a clean canvas, a clean heart. He did it when you were born again. But that's not the only time he can do it. A canvas that's ready to be painted upon by the Holy Ghost. Everything is blanked out. Hallelujah. That's what the blood does, church. It blanks out. It eradicates. Amen. It expunges your sin record. All the sense of shame and failure and regret and not being good enough and everybody else is better than you and I'll never do anything and I'll never accomplish anything. That is not of the painter. That came from somewhere else. Now look at this scripture in a new way today. In Psalm 51:10, it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. It's not just sin. It's anything in that canvas that doesn't belong there. Come on, shout out, say, God, create in me a clean heart. Come on, say, create in me a clean heart. How about if we not just wipe the sin out, wipe all the other things out that don't belong there that are unscriptural, that are polluting that canvas in our inner image. Say it one more time. God created me a clean heart. Hallelujah. Can he do it? Yeah. He's able to make it as white as snow. Now the Holy Ghost can approach you with the Word of God and do what he needs to do. Number three, fellowship with the artist. Fellowship with the artist. The more time you spend in God's presence, the more you'll begin to see yourself the way he sees you. I can't explain it, but some of you experienced it today as you worship God. Aren't you thankful for people leading us into worship and not into performance? Church is not supposed to be American Idol, America's Got Talent, and Showtime at the Apollo all rolled into one. Why? Because you can't experience this with that performance mindset. But some of you today were struck by realities in your spirit, in your inner image as you worship God today. What was he doing? He was prepping you for this message. I can't explain the mechanics of all I know is when you get into his presence, that's when reality comes. I'm not talking about unbelief. Well, that's just the way it is. I'm a realist. I mean, the truth of God's word comes alive. Of his person, of his goodness, what he has for you comes alive when you're around him. Yes. Scripture says in Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You want that image to be clear and consistent and vibrant and overflowing. You want your hope to be alive. You want an inner image of an eager expectation. Fellowship with him.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Teach your kids to fellowship with him. I was blessed when I heard a story of Tim bringing Juliana to church and you had a worship song on. What was that worship song? A Firm Foundation. And he said the presence of God just filled the car and Juliana's back there singing the song. All of a sudden, tears just begin to flood her eyes. The presence of God right there. And the way she thinks is, Daddy, don't play that song anymore. Processing this says, that's a song that makes me cry. No, it was the presence of God. And then you'd be trained to recognize, amen, honor, and respond to that. The more time you spend in His presence, the clearer this is going to be, because you're giving Him permission. Listen to me very carefully and receive it for you as utterance and unction of the Spirit of God Himself today. Receive this. He Himself paints when you get into His presence. Number four, spend time in the paint. I love these little videos showing little kids that while mom and dad are somewhere else, they're in the kitchen or they're in the playroom and parents come back. Amen. The food's everywhere. The paint's on the wall. It's on the dog. It's on them. Some of y'all need to go back to your childhood and play in the paint. Come on, look at somebody and smile. Say, you need to go play in that paint. Hope will always come through the Scriptures, the true paint of God. If you want to paint your canvas with truth, you just have to be in the Word consistently, because it is the only, listen to me carefully, it is the only source of absolute truth. I would tell you, be informed as much as you can be in terms of news. But if you're spending your day, every day, all day, being sucked in by the airwaves out there, you're not being painted on by the Holy Ghost. And it's certainly not the absolute truth. Amen. I'm telling you, this world is crazy. This country's gone nuts. And our politics, you know, absolutely reflects that. What you need to be doing is spending your time in this Word, so the Holy Spirit can do His work on your life. And not just when you're sitting here Sunday morning. You want a vibrant inner image, give Him the paint to work with. He knows how to do it. Stroke by stroke. Are you here today? Romans 15:4 says, for through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. Amen. Say it. I get my hope from the Holy Ghost, who is the painter, and the Word of God that is the paint. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. I recommend you just laugh about national politics and go vote and do what God told you to do. Don't let it get in here. These people fighting and fussing and fuming on social media over this stuff. Well, I can never vote for somebody that votes for the orange man. Defriend me. Get a life. I said, get a life. Jesus is Lord. Do what women told you to do. Go to the Word of God and vote for somebody whose policies reflect the Word of God the most. Amen. Don't you vote or not vote for a man because he has orange skin? Any more than you vote or not vote for some woman or man that has black or brown or green or purple skin. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Yes. I know people that it's all they do is they listen to stuff nonstop. It gets on the inside of here. You're going to pick up the Spirit where it originated from, and it's not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost does not divide. Right. He does not hate. We can tell real quickly what's been painting on our hearts by what comes out of our mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak, and too many believers are being sucked into this stuff. Amen. Our politics have been Forrest Gumped. Stupid is. As stupid does. Amen. Reject the brushstrokes of this world. They're not based in truth. Ask God for a clean canvas, a heart. You need to do that even daily. Fellowship with the artist. The Spirit of God is the painter. Spend much time in the paint, because that's what He uses to paint His reality on your heart. Number five, protect that new painting, that new image. Like Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. That inner image is going to dictate where you go. And if you're going in circles, it's because that inner image is wrong. If you've taken wrong turns in your life, it's because that image is wrong. If you feel defeated today sitting here, it's because that image is wrong. Protect the new thing that God has birthed on the inside of you. He's gone through a lot of trouble to paint the truth on your heart. Now guard it. Are you here today?
Amen.
Y'all remember growing up and took Polaroid pictures? And what happens to those pictures after a while? If you're younger, you won't know what I'm talking about. Look it up on Wikipedia, I guess. But you pull that picture out, and it's what? The colors are faded. The images are not sharp. I picked out one, you know, a couple years ago. I was out visiting mom and dad in Phoenix, and it was a picture of Christmas, probably, I don't know, 1966, maybe 65. And she had me dressed in a onesie that was striped like a candy cane. That's child abuse. Could you imagine me in a onesie? That's a big candy cane, man. I'm telling you that right now. And I was. Put me on a diet 2 months after I was born. I'm telling you what, Fat Albert had nothing on me when I was a baby. But you look at these pics and what's going on is they fade. That's exactly what happens to your canvas. But you have a remedy for it. You can deal with it day by day by making sure that the paint is applied afresh and renewed by the artist who is the Holy Ghost. I mean, once you go through this and you realize what's been happening and you reject those brushstrokes of the world and you say to yourself, you know what? I've got a clean heart for Him to paint on. Come Holy Ghost with your word and paint on my heart. Now what He paints there is biblical. Now you have something for your faith to work on, a picture of health, a picture of healing, a picture of wholeness. Say amen. Say it, I am not the sick. Say it, I am not the afflicted. I am whole. You're not going to get that from the world or religion. You're only going to get it from the Word of God. Now you protect that image. You don't want it fading because you can't afford it to fade. Because if you do, it won't be your faith that fails. It's your hope that faded. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
There's a big difference between those two. The biggest rage today by people who are anti-petroleum and oil around Europe is they're going into museums and damaging precious pieces of artwork. I think of Van Gogh, they threw tomato soup on it or something like that. And Mona Lisa, Da Vinci's, classic work. So I think somebody threw something out. I can't remember exactly what they threw on it, but it was, rubbed into the picture. Somebody else, trying to think what else they did. It was some kind of compound. And then on the picture of the screen, that crazy picture, somebody, maybe they should have for that one. I don't know. They tried to glue themselves to that picture. 38 times. These nutcases have tried to damage these precious pieces of art. And I'm telling you, the devil's trying to do the same thing to your canvas every single day.
Yeah.
What's he been throwing at you lately? So that this thing on the inside of you, and you are far more priceless than anything hanging in the Louvre in Paris.
Yeah.
You are far more valuable than anything hanging in the museums of New York and around the world. Amen. And it's not just going to happen in one time. Pastor prayed. I heard the message. I had an image of him as a kid dressed as a candy cane. I'm ready to go. No one will ever throw anything on my canvas again. I'm not going to tell you that. You might not even get out to the parking lot before the devil tries it. You've got to be ready to say, I'm going to protect this thing. Are you here today?
Yes.
Say it. I thank God
for
an inner image from the Word of God painted by the Holy Ghost every day of my life.
A
Da Vinci, Mona Lisa was cake, actually. You can imagine that. Nothing more priceless than you. Look at somebody and smile and say, there's nothing more priceless than you. Now, if you have a brick house, this won't relate to you, but you know, years ago they used to paint houses. You remember that? You wouldn't just let anyone paint your house. How much less would you let somebody paint your heart? Be very cautious in these days who you're letting in, your ears, and what you're putting before your eyes, because it won't stay there. It'll end up on your canvas and compromise everything that God has for you. Amen? Protecting that painting on the inside of you is going to take some time. Say time. It's going to take some effort. Say effort. It's going to take some discipline. Say discipline. But you know what's worth it? Because now I've got a biblical inner image of an eager expectation. I've got something for my faith to actually work on and bring that to pass. Whereas before, I have all these competing contradictory things coming in. So, you know, personally, I want to commit myself to more and more guarding that heart. For it is the source of life, the wellspring of life. We can't afford for it to be polluted. Amen? So whether you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, or you recently made a new commitment, or you've been saved for a long time, but you know there's stuff here that doesn't belong there, this is a good day for you to be completely cleansed. Come on, shout it out. Create in me a clean heart. Oh, God. Come on, say it. Create in me a clean heart. Oh, God. Come on, stand to your feet for just a moment. Thank you, Father. Your problem is not always a faith that fails. Often it's a hope that fades. Let the Lord just minister to you today. Your canvas didn't get polluted by yourself. You had lots and lots of help. But the good news, He can, in an instant, purify, cleanse, renew, hit the reset button in your life. How many say with a raised hand, there's some stuff on your canvas and it needs to go. You've been walking around too long with this thing. What you don't know is it's been controlling you. It's been manipulating you. It has, in fact, done everything it can to hold you back. And you recognizing that is your first step to victory over this thing. To casting that stuff down, vain imaginations, because they're images that want to exalt themselves above the Word of God, above the knowledge of God. And that, of course, is a form of idolatry. All over this building, lift your hand up high if you've got something on your canvas, you know, doesn't belong there. It's even immaterial at this point, how it got there, when it got there, who helped put it there, what voices you were listening to. What's important is that you go free. What's important is that the life returns. You know, sometimes I'll be in the community and I'll look at somebody and I'll see their face and the light is not there in their eyes. As a Christian, there ought to be. But it's hard, you know, when on the inside of you there is no Bible image and eager expectation. Your heart's a sum total of dozens of artists painting all kinds of nonsense on you. It's a good day to go free. So pray this out loud. Say, Heavenly Father, I understand. I can't be born naturally again. And I am born again. But I understand that even born again people can have a polluted canvas. Lord, I repent for opening any door to the wrong voices, the wrong images, the wrong influences. I denounce those brushstrokes of error and compromise and sin. I take authority over the canvas of my heart. You gave me the charge to guard my own heart. I ask you today to put out there a brand new white, white as snow canvas for you to paint on. I'm asking you to create in me a clean heart, free of sin, free of compromise, free of condemnation, free of guilt, free of shame, free of inferiority, free of everything that's not of you. And I ask you today, by your Spirit, strike my heart with the reality of redemption by the Master Painter, the Holy Ghost. And may He paint that Bible image on me, starting afresh and anew today. I commit every day to get into the presence of the Master Painter and get into the presence where He can paint the Word of God on my heart. I fully expect He's given me a horizon. He's given me a direction. He's given me a blueprint. He is giving me a fresh and a new inner image of an eager expectation. Father, I thank you because I'm having revelation right now of what's been holding me back. It's not outside of me. It's right inside of me. The issue has been there all along. So I denounce anything on the canvas of my heart that does not line up with the Word of God. I claim, I lay hold of, I take right now that new, fresh, inner image of an eager expectation. I fully expect when my faith is released, it comes to pass for the glory of God. Come on, give him a hand clap and thank him for that.